That, dear, was how I came to write you the letter that brought you to Perot. How could I have been so beguiled? How was it when I saw the personal, the selfish point of view of the voice that I did not suspect some impostor? Alas, I was no longer mistress of myself. I had become his thing. But after all, cried Raoul, you soon came to know the truth. Why did you not at once rid yourself of that abominable nightmare? Know the truth, Raoul? Rid myself of that nightmare? But, my poor boy, I was not caught in the nightmare until the day when I learned the truth. Pity me, Raoul, pity me. You remember the terrible evening when Carlotta thought she had been turned into a toad on the stage, and when the house was suddenly plunged in darkness through the chandelier crashing to the floor? There were killed and wounded that night, and the whole theater rang with terrified screams. My first thought was for you and the voice. I was at once easy where you were concerned, for I had seen you in your brother's box, and I knew that you were not in danger. But the voice had told me that it would be at the performance, and I was really afraid for it, just as if it had been an ordinary person who was capable of dying. I thought to myself, the chandelier may have come down upon the voice. I was then on the stage and was nearly running into the house to look for the voice among the killed and wounded, when I thought that if the voice was safe, it would be sure to be in my dressing room, and I rushed to my room. The voice was not there. I locked my door and, with tears in my eyes, besought it, if it were still alive, to manifest itself to me. The voice did not reply, but suddenly I heard a long, beautiful wail which I knew well. It was the plaint of Lazarus when, at the sound of the Redeemer's voice, he begins to open his eyes and see the light of day. It was the music which you and I, Raoul, heard at Perrault. And then the voice began to sing the leading phrase, "Come and believe in me. Whoso believes in me shall live. Walk. Whoso hath believed in me shall never die." I cannot tell you the effect which that music had upon me. It seemed to command me, personally, to come, to stand up and come to it. It retreated, and I followed. "Come and believe in me." I believed in it. I came. I came, and this was the extraordinary thing. My dressing room, as I moved, seemed to lengthen out, to lengthen out. Evidently it must have been an effect of the mirrors, for I had the mirror in front of me, and suddenly I was outside the room without knowing how. What? Without knowing how? Christine, Christine, you must really stop dreaming. I was not dreaming, dear. I was outside my room without knowing how. You, who saw me disappear from my room one evening, may be able to explain it, but I cannot. I can only tell you that suddenly there was no mirror before me and no dressing room. I was in a dark passage. I was frightened, and I cried out.